The richest may end up with that extra tax bracket after all. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Senate passed a key hurdle to a $4 trillion budget plan on Friday. This lays the groundwork for tax reform because it includes language to prevent a tax bill from being filibustered by Democrats, at least through next year. Also on Friday, House Speaker Paul Ryan said the House would be changing its initial tax plan, adding another tax bracket to lower the chances that high-income people don't get a big tax break. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, what's this with the new bracket?
So last month, Republicans put out a blueprint for their tax overhaul, and they proposed cutting the number of tax brackets in the U.S. from 7 to 3. If they did that, the U.S.'s highest tax rate on the richest Americans would drop from about 40% to 35%. But then on Friday, Speaker Ryan said Republicans are going to add a fourth tax bracket to the plan so the highest income earners don't get this huge tax cut. And over the weekend, that's something President Trump said he may support.
So much of the tax plan's in play. What's this about 401k tax-advantaged retirement contributions?
Yeah, there's been some back and forth on this. The federal government lets people set aside $18,000 a year pre-tax for their 401k retirement accounts. You don't have to pay taxes on that money until you withdraw it. Thing is, if the government's going to cut taxes, it needs to make up for a shortfall in tax revenue. So the New York Times reported that Republicans were thinking about cutting the number or the amount of tax-deferred money you can put in your 401k. But President Trump tweeted this morning that that's not going to happen. He said this is, quote, a popular middle-class tax break that works and it stays.
You put an exclamation point at the end. For the record, Marielle, thank you. Electric car maker Tesla is in talks to build a manufacturing plant near Shanghai, China. The company confirms talks but not published reports that a deal could come soon. Chinese authorities love electric cars, and it'll be interesting to see how much Tesla would own any factory it might build for the Chinese market. To explain, let's consult Sean Rhine, founder and managing director of the China Market Research Group in Shanghai. Hi there, Sean.
Always good to speak with you, David.
So if you'd like to make a car in Detroit and send it to China, there's quite a penalty. There is quite an import duty.
You have to either pay a huge tariff from cars produced in the United States of about 25%, or you have to find a joint venture partner in China with usually what would be a state-owned enterprise. And there are a lot of worries about technology transfer and intellectual property issues.
So you couldn't, GM or a Tesla, couldn't just set up a factory in China that it would wholly own because that isn't permitted. So that's what's interesting here. If Tesla can pull this off, this would be a significant change.
And it's something that President Trump has really been pushing for when in his negotiations with China's government to have better access for American businesses.
All right. So watch this space. We'll see if Tesla gets its factory by the end of the year and under what conditions. But China is very open to this idea of an electric car.
China is actually the world's largest market for electric vehicles, and Tesla only has a 4% market share in the country. So General Motors, Ford, they've all announced that 50 to 70% of their models that are sold in China are going to have an electric model in the coming years.
Sean Rhine at China Market Research Group in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
Someone who wants to put a gas-powered car on the road in Shanghai has to enter a lottery, and if they win, pay a $15,000 fee. Registering an electric car would be easy and free. There's news to date that the toy company Hasbro's profits rose 3% summer into fall, but there's a warning about weaker holiday sales ahead, and the stock is down 7%. You should know Hasbro is starting its own movie studio. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports on that.
Hasbro has partnered on films that feature its toys, like Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Battleship. Linda Bolton-Weiser is a toy industry analyst at brokerage D.A. Davidson.
Up until now, they have not taken a major role in financing the feature films that feature some of their brands.
This month's My Little Pony was the first movie fully financed by Hasbro. Comscore analyst Paul DeGarabedian says Hasbro has a role model.
If you look at the Marvel Universe, that's sort of the benchmark that everyone is aspiring to.
But Marvel has Spider-Man and Thor. Can Hasbro's Play-Doh, Mr. Potato Head, or Candyland really compete at the box office?
All of these toys have their own following, but you also have to make a good movie.
The Transformers movies earned billions, while Battleship sank. But as toy retailers struggle, film profits make a more attractive bet for Hasbro's brands. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
For tourists who like to wait for the crowds to ebb and the plane tickets to get cheaper, October is a fine time for Europe. But for the ancient English university city of Oxford, some residents are feeling overexposed. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Another coach draws up in this beautiful city, disgorging another 24 sightseers, but they are not a sight to gladden the heart of local councillor Mary Clarkson.
The problem is really Oxford's a medieval city. It's got narrow pavements, and there are certain parts of the city which are absolutely full of tourists. It's quite intimidating.
Welcome to tourist hell, says Councillor Clarkson. Some of the visitors hog the sidewalks and block the bike lanes. Their idling coaches pollute the atmosphere in this ethereal city.
It's noisy and the fumes are terrible. I get complaints from people who say they have to keep their windows closed because of the fumes.
Oddly enough, one of the city's biggest tour operators kind of agrees.
The building that looks like a cathedral to the right is in fact Christchurch Dining Hall.
The manager of this year-round bus tour service is Jane Marshall.
As an Oxford resident myself, I do understand that Oxford can be quite difficult in the peak of the summer.
But you wouldn't yourself describe it as a tourist hell?
I would not describe it as a tourist hell.
That wouldn't be very good for business, would it?
Not far from it.
The tourism business is booming here. 7 million visitors a year, spending more than $1 billion. Yes, there are problems, says tourism chief Martin Walker, but
I think if you talk to a lot of towns and cities across the UK, they would certainly want this problem.
Everyone accepts, however, there is a problem. Even tourists like Patricia Stuhr and Michael Weber from Germany.
So many buses in the streets, you can't even cross the street without getting killed, or almost.
It's a lovely place, Oxford, but it's much too crowded with tourists.
And that's a tourist speaking. The city has turned for help to its other great asset, brain power. One of the academic institutions here is now studying the problem, how to get 7 million tourists and 150,000 residents to rub along in a small medieval city in the 21st century. In Oxford, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And the Target store chain is pledging to ease off the holiday creep, waiting a little later this year to push the December buying. Among other changes, Target is starting a system where you send a gift box that allows the recipient to go online and exchange the thing for something else even before the box arrives. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.